He was Georges-Jacques Danton, leader of the French Revolution. At 1 o'clock in the morning, a gun boomed from the new bridge over the Seine, and the ringing of the tocsin continued. Hundreds of armed men were gathering in the Place de Grève, which sloped down to the bank of the Seine in front of City Hall. Conspicuous among them was the solid block of 516 men who had marched all the way from Marseille, France's second city on its south coast, singing the fighting and marching song, the Marseillaise, which they had already made famous. But though there were reports of up to 2,000 more armed men gathering in the Saint-Antoine quarter where the Bastille had stood, long known as the focus of the revolution, the response was not as large or quick as the insurrectionary commune had expected. From City Hall, they sent a delegation to Danton at his apartment. One of its members was a prosecuting attorney, cousin to Camille Desmoulins, Lucille's husband, who had been the first to arouse the mob for the storming of the Bastille 3 years before. The prosecuting attorney was tall and robust, but of strange appearance, with thin downward-turning lips under a sharply pointed nose, very high arching eyebrows, an almost permanent frown, and shifting, darting eyes. His name was Antoine Quentin Fouquier-Tinville. Danton promised that night to make him his aide. Fouquier-Tinville was later to prosecute almost all the victims of the guillotine during the Terror, and to be recalled by Lenin when, in December 1917, he founded the first Soviet secret police, progenitors of the KGB. Quote, "Where are we going to find our Fouquier-Tinville?" Unquote. Soon after Fouquier-Tinville and his companions departed, at about 2 o'clock in the morning, Danton decided the leader's presence was needed at City Hall. "It's no good," he told Gabriel, who obviously did not want him to go. "I have to go down there." Upon arriving, he proclaimed to the National Guard and others, in and around City Hall, the establishment of the authority of the insurrectionary Commune of Paris. The mayor of Paris, Jérôme Pétion, was nowhere to be seen. He had been told what was coming, and had decided not to resist it. But the commander of the National Guard, Antoine-Jean Galliot, Marquis de Mandat, a brave and loyal officer who was at the post of danger at the royal palace, was ready to fight the insurrectionists. 1.5 miles down the Seine from City Hall, the royal family of France was confined in the palace and gardens of the Tuileries, as they had been confined since that fearful day in October 1789, when they had been brought there from Versailles by an armed mob like the one now gathering, led by men carrying severed human heads on their pikes. More than a year ago, they had made a dramatic attempt to escape, slipping out of the Tuileries and out of Paris just after midnight, riding for their lives all the next day until they were recognized and stopped, just short of safety, in the little town of Varennes. But they had ridden for their lives, not on horseback, but in an enormous lumbering carriage, carrying their children's governess instead of an armed guard, with the queen's hairdresser as an outrider and one of their scouts too nearsighted to see much, while the man who caught them, the 28-year-old postmaster Jean-Baptiste Drouet, rode to cut them off, gripping his horse's mane on a wild gallop through woods on a stony ridge in deepening dusk at the risk of his life. Now they were back in the Tuileries, and when they heard the tocsin, they knew it sounded for them. His Most Christian Majesty Louis XVI, King of France, was moderately tall, blonde, and blue-eyed, and running to fat. A kindly, pious man of no more than average intelligence, he would have been somewhat miscast as a ruler in any age, but probably would have coped well enough in a time of stability and peace. But France had been gripped for more than 3 years in such a convulsion as no nation in Christendom for centuries had seen or imagined, which this king, knowing that he personally had done almost nothing to arouse it, could neither understand nor bring under control. Despite being shut away in the Tuileries, he had sensed the menace of this night even before the tocsin began to ring. For the first time in his reign, he had refused the ancient ritual of the coucher, the ceremonial putting of the king to bed.